Good morning, and thank you for being with us in the results presentation for the second quarter of 2022 for Grupo Nutresa. I am here with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, and Diana Bernal, Director of Corporate Finance. My name is Caterine Chacón, and I am Leader of the Investors Relations Office. Welcome all. After the presentation, we'll have time for questions and answers. The questions can be asked through the webcast chat. If you ask questions, we remind you to please tell your name and the institution you represent. If you want to follow the slides in Spanish, because by default they are in English, you can download them from this platform's screen. To start with the presentation for results, I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you all for being with us during the conference. To start with, I'd like you to go to slide number two to tell you about some interesting events for this period. First of all, let me tell you that for the fourth year in a row, Grupo Nutresa was the second best company to bring and retain talent in Colombia, according to the Merco Talent 2022 monitor. Some of the measures that they have led the company to keep this position include the initiatives for care for life and physical and mental health of the people, the strengthening of hybrid, flexible, and remote work modalities, encouragement of personal growth and professional growth for the teams, the promotion of equity and diversity, and consolidation of strategies for the development of new skills and new leadership in adaptability, circular economy, digital transformation, innovation, and give a lot of importance to these differentiations at a time when this attraction and retention of talent is a major challenge for the worldwide level. So we are pleased to share this in honor. In the next slide, we'll show you the description of the first sustainable group, Nutrition sustainable credit with a 300 million pesos, with the benefit of the rates according to the performance of the environmental performance. With these indicators, have a lot of the idea is to be 100% recyclable, compostable materials. And the other one is climate change, including the advance in the reduction of emissions, trying to reduce 40% of our footprints. These are all aligned with the objectives for 2030 for this organization. After sharing these two events, let's go to slide number four to tell you about the sales for the period. In general, I am pleased to tell you that during the second quarter of 2022, we continue with a positive business dynamics with significant growth both in Colombian sales and in international sales. With respect to national sales, we have a 38.5% increase in sales, which came to 2,444,900 million pesos during the quarter, with a growth of more than 25% in all business units. We point out that the growth in the coffee, cookies, biscuits, and consumer, and the others categories. The volumes grew at 14.2% with positive variations, double-digit variations in all business units except pasta, which has a slight contraction of minus 0.2%. And this shows a good behavior for our categories in an environment which is had price increases, which represent 20.2%. If we look at this by business, the meat business grows 33.9%, with volumes that went up 13.4%, supported by the strength of all the brands in the category and the business networks that allow us to take advantage of the opportunities for the market. The biscuit business grew in all channels at a double-digit rate, and we have 46.9% growth and 24.2% by volume. Chocolate has a growth of 29.3% in sales and 13.2% by volume, with a good dynamics in its categories, especially in snacks and chocolate drinks. Coffee has a growth of 57.6% in sales, with volumes that increased by 18%, 18.6%. All its categories and channels have grown at a double-digit rate. Retail food grew at 37.6%, much more dynamically in its physical channels, and the continuity with non-sales. The ice cream grew at 27.8% and maintained a good behavior in all its platforms. In pasta, the growth at 27.8% is due to a combination of a mix of high-value sales mix, because we have a slight decrease of 0.2% in sales. Others grew at 47%, with good performance and double-digit performance in food service and in entrepreneurs. If we look at sales outside of Colombia, we report a dollar revenue for $409.9 million, with a growth of 25.9%. In Colombian pesos, these sales are 1,569,300 million pesos, with an increase of 33.4%. During the period, we had a devaluation of 6% vis-à-vis the same quarter last year. Organic sales were $389.3 million, with a growth of 22.2%. In Colombian pesos, 1,523,600 Colombian pesos, with an increase of 29.5%. Very significant that the total exports from Colombia during the first in the quarter was $112 million, with a growth of 41.5%. This is an important opportunity, not only for the company, but also for the country. By business, in Piedmont Luquetti, we had a growth of 16.2% in dollars. In its functional currency, this growth was 36.2%, with a solid dynamics in the various geographies, and supported its main categories, cold instant drinks and snacks and pasta. In biscuits, we had a growth in good dynamics in the U.S. and other markets where we are present. Coffee has a growth of 42.5%, with a good combination of exports from Colombia and good performance of our operations in the U.S. In the chocolate business, we have a growth of 17.7%, where we highlight the Mexican performance and Peru as well. The international food operations, of course, retail food grew at 18.7%. The cold cuts had decreased 14.2% in dollars, represented by lower exports from Colombia and lower sales in Panama. In the chapter of others, the increase is due mainly to the consolidation of the Milena operations. And in slide next slide, we see that by combining the growth in Colombia of 38.5% and the international growth of 33.4%, we reported some consolidated sales for the quarter of 4,014,200 million pesos, with an increase of 36.4%. All our business units and the chapter of others have double-digit growth. As you can see, this is an excellent quarter in commercial terms, with very good sales. And going to slide number six, we can see the accumulated sales at the end of the period. In general, I believe that we completed the semester with very positive figures, in spite of the fact that the challenges in supply of raw materials, the volatility of the currencies and logistics are still with us. In Colombia, we reported sales for COP4,652,400, with a growth of 32.5%, with a positive performance in all our business units. In terms of volumes, Colcott grew by 12.5%. Biscuits were 17.8%, and we have a very highly valued sales mix. All our business units grew at double-digit terms in the period, and coffee and biscuits grew more than any, all. We all have positive variations as a result of good commercial dynamics in our networks and channels and the leadership of our brands. You can see in the lower part of the slide that outside of Colombia, the sales in dollars came to $756.3 million, with a growth of 21.1%. In Colombian pesos, these sales represent 2,959,200 million pesos, with an increase of 30.6%. The organic growth is 17.6%. The total exports from Colombia during the semester was $207.9 million, with a growth of 30.3% growth. This shows that exports were not good not just in the second quarter, but for the whole year, that it's had this trend. All units have positive variation, with except of the cold cuts, which is affected by lower exports from Colombia and less sales in Panama. And in slide number seven, we see that combining the growth in Colombia for the quarter of 32.5% and an international growth of 30.6%, we reported consolidated sales during the period of 7,711,600 million, with an increase of 31.8%. This is a very good semester in terms of the commercial area. All our business and others have double-digit growth. To look at the accumulated sales by region, let's go to slide number eight. You can see that sales outside of Colombia represent 38.9% of the total. The highest growth are in the U.S., Mexico, and Central America, but all our geographies have grown at a double-digit rate. The first geography in importance in Colombia is Colombia, with 61.1%. The second one is the U.S., with 12.6% of the total sales. The third one is Central America, with 9.7%. And the fourth is Chile, with 6.3%. This completes the vision we wanted to give you about the very, very good quarter and a very good semester in terms of the commercial business. And now let's get to the topics that have to do with profits. With respect to raw materials, in slide number nine, you can see that during the second quarter of the year, the inputs continued to be increasing, more expensive and volatile. So the average for the period was level higher than the previous year's results. This is the higher reference price in many of the raw materials that we use in our production. It's important to point out that during July, we've seen a more stable outlook in the growth of some commodities, and that's enabled us to continue with our coverage strategies. In terms of coffee as a raw material, you can see, and the graph shows in this period, it has the number one part of this pie, where we have all the inputs for Nutresa. The coffee is 16.7% of the total. This is the result of an increase in the cost of raw materials, but also the important growth that we have seen in the sales in this category. In the second place is 14.3% in packaging material, and the third one is pork, with 7.4%. To go more deeply into some of the financial aspects, I'll give the floor to José Domingo Penagos, our Vice President of Corporate Finance. Good morning, José, and welcome. Good morning to you. As usual, we're going to start by presenting the profitability, the financial statements, the debt situations, and the cash position for the group. We'll start with the EBITDA for the quarter, which is shown in slide number 10. And this time, we have a consolidated EBITDA of 481 million pesos. We have a 37% growth, and in this period, a margin on sales is 12%. On sales, this is consists of seven of the business units grew at a double digit, and also the others during this period. And this only coffee, which I'll refer to later, has a decrease, but it does revalue. If you have evaluate the whole basket, you can see very good results for the entire business. General circumstances, if you go into each business. We have trends which are similar for the quarter and the semester, with a slight improvement after July, as well, Carlos mentioned, in terms of the commodities. But the picture is very similar for all business units. In terms of raw material costs, we have volatility and growth with a sustained pressure on those raw materials. Then the equation levels off. Like in the previous level, by appropriate price management, flexibility, speed to adapt the organization to the new prices in terms of raw materials. We cannot say that this is, this passed through, we don't transfer all the raw material, but we share most of the commodities coverage with the consumers. And now that we go to each business unit, we'll see increases in raw materials much higher than the prices. But this is the first major chapter that balances this out, and then is the discipline in terms of expenses with the resulting effect on the elimination of the fixed components, both from the cost and expense components. This is in general, first this for the entire semester. If we allow this for by business unit, we have the an increase of 45% writing it off in the EBITDA. This is good dynamics that we just saw during the semester, with a growth of 29% and the good control of expenses, which mitigates double-digit growth in its major raw materials, I mean proteins, grew at 32%, beef at 40%, chicken 41%, and that is the reason for the comment about the prices, an increase in prices, but it doesn't necessarily represent the increase in the cost of raw materials in this business unit. The second is a biscuit business, and to mention the pressure of raw materials, we have 45% also fats, close to 50% packaging material, 29%. So this is a lot of pressure. I want to explain that there's a pressure on each of these business units, and the rate of exchange, of course, have a lot of natural coverage. But again, this business, which has a very good balance between Colombian operations and international operations, is mainly in the U.S., Central America, has a good balance and a good discipline in commercialization expenses, and this helps bring an important growth in EBITDA, which is 100%. It's a very good dynamics, a very good recovery of its profit margins. Talking about chocolate, the third business unit, we must first refer to the cocoa, although it has has the more stable commodity in the basket, and this enabled us to have some better price coverage for also in cocoa. We had some significant windows during the semester, especially during the quarter. We've been able to take advantage of that to maintain our profit levels and provide coverage for that raw material. The growth was slower, 20. It goes at the double digit, and it's at 24% of the total cost structure. We also should mention in chocolate, there is a geographic diversification, especially in the categories that make up this business unit. So the mix also helps a lot, together with the productivity plans to present an almost 14% margin with very good growth, 33% compared to the second semester last year. Now, then we have coffee, which is the highest growing business for the group. It grew 54% for the group. You also have a very disciplined execution in the expenses and an appropriate management of prices. We saw that in the commercial section. But this is it's a matter of magnitude and materiality. The cost of coffee during the period increased 95%. We see that the cost structure of this business unit, that raw material, is 80% of the total of the cost. So if you have that size growth, which is almost double, it has a major challenge on the profits and has an impact, impacts the EBITDA margin for the period. After that, we have had TMLUC. This is a business unit which is diversified by itself, and this distribution of the various categories, this balance helps a lot to manage the increase in the volatility of the raw materials, which of course the businesses had to manage that. We have coffee, pasta, instant drinks, just to mention a few of the categories in TMLUC. And that combination also, thanks to the management and expense control, gives us a margin for the period of almost 15%, especially an increase of 44%, a very good management of the volatility of these commodities for this business unit, which is mainly headquartered in Chile and in Mexico. Also in the rest of the region, but those are the two geographies that have the highest weight. Then we have the retail food unit. We can point out the margin here, which is about 20%. The EBITDA margin has good behavior in terms of the business, especially in present sales. We have the aggregators, our own digital sales, or home deliveries. It's evaluated. It's about 26% in Colombia. It's not a layer. It's a significant part of sales after the pandemic, and the in-person sales, which are also significant, have been growing very well. We also speak about expense control. It has helped us with the restaurants. Then we have ice cream and pasta. And the ice cream is a margin of 17% for the quarter. It has lower production expenses. We had some break-even points, which with the business dynamics that we have, although we, for example, in Colombia, we have a strong rainy season. Business has a very good business performance, and it is reflected almost immediately in our profits, especially in the EBITDA. And in pasta, the last business unit before talking about others, we have a growth of 18% in EBITDA, a margin of 14.5%, and it's not absent with this challenge of raw materials, which is wheat. Then in business earlier, and the dilution in expenses and good expense control gave us good profit levels and good sustained results for the past several quarters. We should mention also that in others, there's a good performance. There is an EBITDA margin which grows significantly, 148%, and with a margin of 8.1%, we have food service with the acquisition of Belén, which was not reported in detail, but we can tell you that it has been keeping up with the business plans, also managing the increases in the prices of raw materials, but very much aligned with the plan during the first year of acquisition, because we were closing that operation or completing it, the business in Costa Rica. We added to this the Belén and the enterprises, and this gives a result for this chapter. This is in more detail, and for the semester we have that in slide 11. And as I said several times, these are very similar circumstances in the rest of the business. So knowing that in business by business would be very repetitive is 990,000 and 15,000 million pesos, growing at 27% with a 20.5% margin. But since if you're going business by business, would be very repetitive, I'd like to take this chapter to mention, as I'm sure that you saw, this is a special, very challenging moment for the cash positions of those companies that have grown like ours. And all the working capital turnover in general terms are maintained. We do have a significant use of capital. It's an investment more than the usage of working capital in receivables and inventories. The inventories is also is helps with the coverage. Part of that in coffee, cocoa, and protein is physical. We have physical and then market. In those physical coverage, inventories helps us out with a lot of those challenges at the global level. So we have to have the products to produce and to make available to the market has been key. And in this case, the company had decided to assist to weigh this growth mainly with by generating internally generating funds and inventories, I said, to have available in the shelves the product, but not to do the business continuity. It's very important to have these inputs to be able to produce. So although we see the conversion of sales into or EBITDA to cash, they have decreased. It is invested in that working capital, and it's at the service of the company's growth. After this, let's look at the financial statements, both for the quarter in slide number 12 and in the quarter in the next slide as well. And before the numbers, specifically for the quarter, I'd like to remind you that what we just saw about the pressure by raw materials is reflected here in the. Let's go to the P&L. The effect of the cost has a contraction in these 430 points, base points. The impact on the gross margin, which is managed, as I said, with a discipline in expenses, but you can see that numbers here, 490 basic points. You evaluate those chapter of expenses and we optimize like this here between price management at 490 base points. We return to the balance to the middle part of the P&L and operating profits of 356,000 million pesos, which is higher than the growth of sales. 42% over sales reported through the quarter of 4 billion, which already mentioned, which grew 36.4%. This is the most relevant part of this midline of the P&L towards the top. In the rate of exchange difference, it has been a very volatile period in the rate of exchanges, the rates of exchange in most countries. We have, in this case, the difference in the operating assets and the liabilities. We have an expense of 4,000, 5,000 million pesos in Colombia, and that's given due to the impact of those rates of exchange on our capital, working capital accounts. We also have these coverage, and some of that is part of in cash, and that represents or that explains that expense. The valuation of the period was 10%. It's not minor for those working capital accounts, but we have other net revenues from the operation, and we have any income here of 6,200 million pesos. This is mainly due to activity recoveries in some of the. That was operation. That is very net to report operating profits that I mentioned, with 356,000 million pesos, with a growth of 42%. This is for the operations. After operations, we have mostly revenue and expenses in financial terms, taxes for net profits. On financial revenue, we have mainly to the administration cash management. We've used cash to finance our growth, but cash is the balances we have. We invested at the rate of interest, both in when we place and then we have those revenue of 12,500 million pesos, but that cash is at the service of growth. They're not treasury activities, what we bring to use to balance, although we have income. More than that, is more important is the expenses, the financial expenditures. Our debt structure is mostly variable. I'm going to give you some before the slides. We have 20% of all our debt is covered at a fixed rate. That fixed rate is about 5%. That's we moved forward last year, but the rest has a variable rate. During the first quarter, we're going to see increases in the financial expenses derived from those increases in the rate of interest. Because of these percentages here during the quarter, and the financial expenses increased by 71%, this represents 40,000 million Colombian pesos. We go to a slate to a rate, which is, although this was 6.8% this time, and for the whole semester is 7.1%. Although it has grown compared to 3.5% or 4%, they are still interested, even less than inflation in most countries where we operate. We also have some effects of the rate of exchange. We're talking about the P&L from the bottom, from middle down, 31 million pesos. This is the effect of the rate of exchange on the working capital activities with our affiliates overseas, participations in joint businesses and corporations. We had companies with our minority investments, Chunghwa, Bank of India, Estudiantina, et cetera, with very good presentation, and we record those that income. In the area of stocks, taxes, we have an increase in the current taxes, which is derived from the increase in profits from all our operations. Well, remember that this is a basket, but the commercial operation is very even in Colombia and in other countries, so an increase is across something that happens across the board. We also have an increase in taxes, but in general, we should measure more the effective rate for the people, which is 31.5%, compared to 29.5% for the previous year. That would be a something closer to what we would end the end of the year with. This will reflect the tax reform in Colombia. This is leads us to a net profit for the period, 208,000 million pesos. It grows at 51% over the same period last year, in a margin of 5.5 points over sales. Slide number 13, we have the statement of results for the entire semester, and I will point out again the exactly the same effects of gross margin and expenses. In this case, the impact of costs over the gross margin can be reflected. The price variable is 400 basis points. That's the impact, the negative effect. But the whole block of expenses, which goes below over half of what the revenue, grows 15.3%, it has 400 basis points for a benefit. So it's the same tax industry. Operating profits grows again above the revenue. So we have 7.6 billion in revenues, a growth of 32%, and SATs to operating profits of 721 million pesos, which is almost 35%, the same effects that I explained during the quarter. The same effects, but with the magnitude for the semester, for bond rating effects, for working capital and financial revenue, same effect on net rates of interest, 18,000 million pesos, and obviously the same effect, but with an accumulated value for financial expenses. Remember that the number is 160,000 million pesos in financial expenses, 42 million pesos from the previous year. And it's the increase is 48% for this year. For the semester, we have the chapter of our dividends of our long-term investments. They grew 33%. They are reflected in the these 90,200 million pesos that we should show for the P&L. The same effect on the difference of rate of exchange due to these devaluations and the participations in joint business, which I mentioned earlier, for the semester, there are 11,500 million pesos. Also in taxes, I already mentioned that for the quarter, and then the growth in the profits for the operations and the impact of the tax reform in Colombia. And for the period, the effect of the dividends, which are cost during the second quarter, the effective tax rate is around, it's 27% compared to 26% for the previous year. But for the modeling and for the end of the year, I work with the one that we close to 31.5%. So this is the net profit for the whole semester of 580,000 million pesos with a growth of 37% higher than revenue. And finally, we can talk about the debt and cash returns in slide number 14. You can see here, first, the amount of the debt that you can see cash with 2.9 billion pesos, point out the net to EBITDA, even with the increase of the financial expense, we think this is 1.9 times, is very healthy, very much in line with previous. 1.9 is covered with the EBITDA, and the cost I talked of is 7.18%, to be exact. The cost of the debt of the group and average life is 5 years, working with the market risks so as not to have very highly concentrated exposures. We have tranches that go to 10 years. As I mentioned, the sustainable credit then has 10 years average, at market rates. Obviously, it should be sustainable, but first of all, under market conditions and on those competitive market rates, we would apply the benefits or the step down, as we will mention when we have the sustainability indicators. We also mentioned the percentage of fixed debt, which is 20%, and that's a condition of the debt for the group. We have CapEx and working capital, about working capital, we spoke earlier, so about the capital expense, we have an accumulated for 148,000 million pesos, but let's remember that first that the budget is 413,000 million, and that there's a cycle, there's a seasonality in the execution of CapEx. Also for the purpose of calculating and models, I would work with the budget, although we have an apparent underperformance for the first semester. And lastly, the return on invested capital, this whole equation of profits and the magnitudes of the balance sheet is 10.8% for food, close to 11% for this period. That would complete the financial statements. And with this, I would end this section, and I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio, who will talk to us about the outlook. Thank you, Jose Domingo. Vis-a-vis the outlook, We see that for the rest of this year, we're not going to be resolving all the challenges of supplies, which are really global. On the other hand, although they will gradually, inflation will come under control, we must manage those effects on consumption because we believe that high levels of inflation will be reflected in restrictions in categories where for our business, and mostly foods is one of the last categories to be affected by the consumer. Our strength of our brands, the portfolio, the networks that we have to deliver our value offer, and our innovation will enable us to continue with a positive commercial dynamic for the next period. So what we see for the future in the following quarters is a positive business dynamics with respect to profits. Our productivity, cost and expenses programs, the economies of scale for dilute fixed costs, the disciplining capital expenses, and the application of pricing strategies will lead us to continue with a balanced equation for the returns in the next period. This is what we see for the next periods. So I'll give the floor to Catherine for the also we can answer any questions that we have through our chat. Thank you all. If you have any questions, you can ask them through the chat, through the webcast. Now we have three questions from Daniel Guardiola. We will read them as they were asked. My questions are, this year we have a very strong growth in sales, but that has not created any cash flow. Could you give us an idea about the reasons behind the generation of negative cash flows in the semester? Do you have any objective for the year? The erosion of the gross margin, did you made up by lower expenses? How sustainable were the current sales expense? And last year, we said that you were mentioning for a strategic partner, and they were looking at. Could you give us an update of this initiative? Daniel and everybody who are also connected, I clarify this. In December last year, the company proposed, they were looking at alternatives in more liquid and different markets, but they didn't refer to the New York Stock Exchange. I'll take the first two. In this case, I would start with a clarification. Something about working capital and the effect on inventories. During the period, we have a conversion of cash flow to sales, which is 1.7%. It's not negative, but in the effect is 6.5% that we had compared to last year. So more than an objective, it's just we're going to continue on purpose funding the growth. And this will require us to invest cash. There's no decrease. It's invested, it's a reallocation. We have to invest that in our working capital. Since we are funding that growth, we don't have a special conversion objective for the year, but that our objective is to meet that growth, and it is not negative for the period. With respect to the percentage of expenses, sales expenses over revenue, the invitations not looked at specifically at a very one variable in sales expenses reflect the circumstances that we have of growth and costs. So sustainability of growth and costs and expenses specifically are one of the variables is not very responsible. What we do promise is manage to adapt the organization to these changing circumstances. If the sales costs remain as pressure we'll have to have with the same variables of price and expenses to can maintain our general equation of profitability and profits with a balance. That is the commitment to that about the balance in our balance of value generation more than a specific value, which in the volume has a dilution in all its variable and fixed components. Daniel, a special greeting. Thank you for being with us to the conference. Let me take the third point. Indeed, on December 17, 2021, the board of directors of Grupo Nutresa instructed the management to look into an integrated manner with the support of our advisors, three issues. One, I didn't mention, which has to do with reviewing the dividends policy, which we agreed with that, and we took some steps and approved by the General Assembly this year. And besides, we were instructed to look at access to other capital markets into more high liquid capital markets, and which specifically what we saw after the study was that we built a plan to strengthen our control processes, in which that plan starts with by reviewing the cost of all the control systems, and it's going on. We didn't specifically talk about the New York Stock Exchange, but if we were in New York, we'd have to do an addendum about the source. But we're in the start in the process. This takes more than a year, and we're doing it with all the commitment and with all the seriousness so the company can be ready to access those markets when it's most appropriate or most convenient. Secondly, we were instructed to look into a process to evaluate strategic partner process so we can continue to add value to the company and to all the stakeholders that have the same purpose and objective for the organization. That study and evaluation process so far has had no specific results to report to the market, but we are doing that as seriously as we do that all the tasks assigned to the board of directors. Thank you for being with us and for the questions that help us clarify the company's progress. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We have one more question from Felipe Cruz from Scotiabank. Felipe says, good morning, Carlos Ignacio, Sir Domingo, Catherine. Thank you for the time for the questions. One on me, my part. Can you manage to increase the prices? And if we saw the cycle of the commodities, how we are trying to convert cost in commodities, how would you plan the price managing when the commodities would be reduced? Good morning, Felipe. Thank you also for being in the conference. And I'll answer that. What we said earlier is that we saw in July like some change in some of the commodities. So the first thing is that is just a first signal. Obviously, I take advantage of all the advantages, not only in commodities, but also in currencies. But also, I understand your question. When there's no longer a signal, but it's more like a trend, because we act in competitive markets, the pricing is not only the opportunities to increase, but also to decrease when it is most appropriate. And there, I would say the same that we said earlier, as we have been prudent and we haven't increased as much as the commodity has increased, and we have increased productivity and price, and when they will go down, we don't have to go down as much as they do, but we are willing and to evaluate in each reference, in each channel, and in each geography, what is the appropriate price so that the company can continue to have the accessibility that is required, and that we can meet that objective, which is profitable growth, which is not just growing, it's maintaining some adequate rates of return. So the management is very itemized by preference, by channel, by geography to achieve the price levels that will enable us to achieve our preference by the consumers, always protecting our profits returns in the long term for the organization. I'd like to mention, and I want to highlight this, our inventories have become not only a matter of optimization to improve profitability. These are a factor to ensure business continuity. In part, Grupo Nutria has grown in sales because we've had product available around the world, not only in Colombia, but there were competitors with service levels which are very much lower. In foods, what happens is that when you need something, you have to buy it. And if it's not there, the brand that you wanted, you look the best alternative. And we want to continue to be the best alternative for clients, consumers, and buyers. Thank you, Felipe. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Well, we have no further questions, but I will remind you that we'll be attentive to receiving and answering questions that you have about the results for the quarter through our relationship with the investors of us. We will conclude then our call for results for the second quarter for 2022, Grupo Nutresa. Thank you very much for being with us and have a happy week.